Hello and welcome to the latest episode of Innovate Her, Women in Product, where I interview the women who are changing the game. Today we have Preeti Kashyap. She is a seasoned problem solver with over 18 years of experience in the technology industry, specializing in roles across technology and product management. With more than 12 years in product management, Preeti has focused on digital commerce, helping retailers and marketplaces worldwide scale their domestic and cross-border e-commerce operations. She has a proven track record building and growing product teams, as well as mentoring product managers to drive innovation and success in the digital landscape. Preeti, how are you doing today?
I'm doing well. How are you, Rebecca?
I am good. I'm good. Where are you joining us from?
Oh, I live in Fairfield, Connecticut, so this is about 10 a.m. my time.
Oh, okay, nice, nice. I hope you're getting good weather still as we creep and talk the end of fall.
Yeah, it is. Fall is actually my favorite season of the year, so I really love this weather. So, yeah, I'm really enjoying it.
Oh, especially with Connecticut, all the trees, it must be gorgeous.
Yeah. We're just getting there, yeah. The leaves are just changing colors, so really enjoying this time, yeah.
So how about special. You? Well, I'm Canadian, but I live in Scotland.
Oh, nice. So. Actually, I visited Scotland a few months ago.
Oh, where were you?
All over. We went to Edinburgh, we went to Glasgow, we went to Isle of Skye, like all
oh,
over.
Amazing.
It was fun.
I'm in Edinburgh, so it's lovely.
Oh, nice. Okay, yeah.
Yeah, we're actually getting some good weather now, so I'll take it.
Great. Yeah, we got some rain when we were there. Yeah,
I would expect as much. Could you share a little bit about your journey, about how you entered the product management field and what inspired you to get into this career?
Yeah, so I actually started my career as a programmer. So my background is a master's in computer applications. So I learned to code in school and then started as a C++, C# programmer. And very quickly in my career, I realized, and also my managers also took notice that I, more than other people, am focused on the user's experience than, you know, the technicalities of writing code. So that's kind of how questions I used to ask, and that's where my mind would always go. And even when working with other programmers, that's kind of what I used to help them figure out. Hey, this is where this functionality is getting used, so let's build it this way. So that was a specific kind of talent that I did not know that could be used in other ways, that was recognized by people that I used to report to, and they would be like, maybe there's a better role or better way that I can contribute. And then I got moved into the role of a business analyst, which led me to product management. That was kind of like the natural progression as I went about my career. So that's kind of how I found myself in this field. So I am a partly technical person. Yeah.
Oh, there you go. You bring a unique perspective to it.
Yes.
What experiences do you think that women bring to product management?
Yeah. So I would say my experience, and also working with other product managers in the field, I definitely see that women are almost overprepared. You know, we are never winging it. We are always, you know, thinking about, okay, if this is what happens, how am I going to react to it? If this happens, like all the alternatives that could happen in a situation, at least I think about a lot of stuff in advance and try to prepare myself. If this happens, that's how I'm going to go about it. So I think that's something that women just do naturally. That's kind of how we operate in the world. So that we bring that into the business also, a level of preparedness or over-preparedness in some situations, which helps us be more confident and, you know, and also pivot very quickly if we need to. So yeah, I kind of definitely do that. Yes.
It's both a blessing and a curse, being able to do everything, but then being overwhelmed by everything we're expected to do.
That's true. I have, over a period of time, learned to not go overboard with my preparedness, but it's not going to change. So it'll still stay, yes.
In your opinion, what are some of the biggest challenges faced by women in the product sphere, and how can we address those challenges to overcome them?
I would say it is only specific to women, but definitely self-doubt is something that I have sometimes, faced with, and I have tried to overcome. And it kind of becomes a self-fulfilling prophecy when you are not sure of what you're saying, whoever that you're addressing, that person is not sure that, do I know what I'm talking about? I don't sound very confident. So then they are not confident in my capability if I'm not showing confidence in myself. If I have self-doubt or imposter syndrome, then the person I'm addressing does not have confidence in my capabilities, and then it kind of becomes a flywheel. So we kind of have to, I think, try to get out of that cycle. And with the over-preparedness, that's how I have been able to do that, to, tackle my self-doubt, but also believe more in myself. And that's what I tell I also mentor other women product managers, and that's what I tell them, that, you're more capable than you think you are. Just, believe in yourself. Don't doubt your own self, Other people will doubt you if you doubt your own self. So don't do that.
Yeah. So, hype yourself up.
yes, exactly. Yeah.
Now, do you have any product or projects or initiatives you've led in your career that you're really proud of that you'd like to share with us?
Yeah, every time that I have built something from, I've gone from zero to one, something that was, there was no product, and then we did some work, we did some research, and we built a product, and then somebody started using it. Those are the times that I have been very proud to be a part of it and to lead it and, bringing it to fruition. Specifically, I can say that there was a time when I was working with a technical team who was quite challenged with their understanding of whatever it is they are building, how is it getting used in the business, like in the field. And whoever they were working with, they were telling them how to build something instead of what to build and why to build it. So they did not have any background on why they are building something. They just knew how they have to do something. So, and they would not build it quite the right way because they didn't know why they were building something. So I kind of, when I stepped in into that role and tried to figure things out, like, why are things not going well here? What is the problem? Why are we not building the features that we should be building? Or why are they not right? They don't fit right. So I started working with them, trying to understand what is it that's holding them back, when I realized that they have no idea why they're building something, who the consumer is, what do they want. Like, they have no understanding of that. So I brought them into the conversation that, okay, this is the persona that we are building for, and this is how they're using it. This is the situation they are in when they have to use this specific feature, which is when it clicked to them, oh, I'm supposed to build it this way, not this, because this is kind of how a person is using what I'm building. Once they got that understanding, our build cycle or our release cycle got so fast, and the quality of outcomes that we were delivering got so much better. that they and they did not know what they were missing until they saw that, until that door was open to them, and then they saw it, and then they're like, oh, I never knew this was happening. Why did I build it this way? That was wrong. I should not have done that. So yeah, so that's, I think, you know, building products is, of course, that's what we do in our day-to-day job. But if we, like, this is one situation where I feel like I actually added impact because I changed the way they were approaching building, not just like how they were, but how they were approaching about the problem. I was able to change that. So that was fun to do. Yeah.
Keeping it very user-centric.
Yes. Yes.
What advice would you give younger women aspiring to enter or advance in the product management field?
Yeah, I always say that you should get the basics right. Like, that's the most important thing. In product management, it is super crucial. It's very critical to do first-hand discovery. Do not rely on second-hand information, because somebody that you are talking to may be interpreting the situation a different way. Try to do first-hand discovery as much as possible. And that also helps you develop your product intuition, because there are times along the way where you have to make certain decisions. And yes, you use data to guide your decision-making, but also, product intuition plays a huge role in your decision-making. What is the right path to go down? And you can only develop product intuition if you're doing that discovery firsthand, if you're talking to the users, yourself, or whoever is using your product. If you're getting in the situation yourself, only then you can develop that product intuition. Otherwise, that is the one thing that is hard to develop. That muscle is difficult to develop. And getting those basics right is going to really set you on a path to success in the product management field. That's like one thing that you need to be doing. Yeah.
Oh, amazing. How would you foster inclusivity and diversity within your product teams?
Good question. So I have to say, I'm lucky to be working in a company that is inclusive by default. So, you know, there is nobody questions me because I'm a woman. Like, that's never in the equation. But I also realize that I cannot take this freedom for granted. So I have to make sure I do my part in being inclusive and helping my team. So I do have to recognize when somebody has a good idea, may not have the confidence to put it in front of the team, put it on the table. I have to make space for them to present it, give them the confidence. No, what you said was right. You should be the one presenting it. I don't want to be presenting it on your behalf. You are the one that came up with this idea. You should be the one doing this. So making space for other people in my team to speak their truth and say their ideas is important to me. It does not mean I go any easy on anybody, whether it's like whoever it is that is presenting their idea. They have to do their due diligence. But I definitely make sure that everybody is getting equal opportunity in my team, and the people that are going above and beyond what they're doing also get recognized for it, because their voices need to get to the rooms that they are not in. And I may be in those rooms and they may not be in those rooms. So I need to make sure their voices get carried in those rooms. Yeah.
Oh, this is a mentorship in a way, like bringing them out of their shell.
Absolutely.
Can you share any strategies or tactics that you found effective in balancing your career with your personal aspects, such as family or personal pursuits?
Sure. And I have not been the best at it in my career. Early on, I used to take up a lot of extra projects just because I had not learned the art to say no yet. Mm-hmm. And also, I was always trying to be super nice to people, so super nice and likable to people. But I realized that you can't always be that because your own mental health, your own personal life is going to suffer. So you have to create boundaries. You have to set boundaries when it comes to work. But I have also seen that being organized in your day-to-day work helps a lot. So if you know how your day, if you plan your day, week and day a little bit better, it is easy to also not get derailed by somebody else. Set your boundaries. Like on Monday mornings, I set aside some time to plan my week, things that I have to get done this week. So I know how much open time I have. And of course, things get derailed. My schedule gets derailed, but I definitely feel like I have a better handle on my schedule when I know these are the things that I have to accomplish this week. Another thing that I also learned late was there are a lot of tasks that are unplanned that people come up with. And you kind of have to help them because you are the product manager in the team. So the thing that nobody is doing, you have to do it because you're kind of like that person in the team that is holding all of those things together. So try and not take up too many tasks just to be nice or just because you're the product manager. Just try to, you know, set up some boundaries. Also understand which tasks or which projects will help you in your career and in your CV. So focus on those things first. You know, it's not selfish to think about your own career first. In fact, it is your responsibility to think about your own career. And it is you are in charge of your own career. Nobody else is in charge of your career. So you have to make sure that you are also doing the tasks and the projects that are helping move the needle in your career. And also, in addition, doing the tasks and the projects that have to be done, the stuff that has to be done. So, you know, balance between those two things is also very important.
Balance is hard to find sometimes, especially as the overachievers. What are some trends or developments you foresee shaping the future of product management?
So I personally really love this flywheel of women leadership that we have now kind of built. So we see women leadership in the product management space. And we see them as good role models. So that helps develop the next generation of talent because we now are able to visualize that, okay, I can be in that position as well. And also we are helping by opening doors for other, you know, diverse leaders and female leaders. So that kind of builds this cycle of, you know, us helping other women who are helping other women. So that is something that I think is and would continue in this space for a while until we have been able to make the gains, you know, by having enough women leaders that it's not seen as something new anymore. That's the place we need to be, where a woman leader is nothing new. Yeah, it's not out of the norm, it's the norm. Yes, yeah.
The trickle-down effect. One yes, helps exactly. another, helps another.
Yeah.
Could you share any memorable success stories or moments from your career that highlight the impact of women's leadership?
So one, One thing that I can think of is, so every time that my a product is getting bought by someone, like the first time, like if I build something from 0 to 1, and the first time, the first customer that buys it, that just like, that's a memorable moment for me personally, that, okay, it not only was a thought in my head, there is actually a like somebody who's willing to pay money for this. So that's something that always wows me that when that happens. But also when I help someone turn their career around, which is, you know, kind of what I do by mentorship, because sometimes people also give up. If they're in a difficult situation, they also tend to give up because they don't see a way out. So if you can help somebody turn it around, and by helping them sharpening their strength instead of focusing on their weaknesses, because we do that all the time. We are too hyper-focused on our weaknesses, that this is the thing that I'm not doing well, I need to really work hard on this, instead of focusing on the things that you do well, taking on the projects that involve the things that you do well, so you be successful. So instead of that, we are very focused on the things that we do not do well. And that is like common for all of us. So I have been able to help some people, you know, make progress in their career where that's the situation they were in, very close to giving up, and then realizing that, okay, I can approach this job from a different angle. Instead of hyper-focusing on where I'm failing, let me just, for some time, focus on where I'm succeeding so that I can build some confidence in myself. So that's helpful. And that's something that I definitely love to do. So, yeah.
I know we kind of talked about mentorship. Have all of your mentors been women, or have you had a mix?
Ah, that's a good question. I have had a mixture of mentors, and I think I have gained from men's perspective as well. There are some things that I have learned that I realized, why was I doubting myself? Everybody is in my shoe. Like, everybody thinks the same way. I'm not unique here. And that realization I only had after I talked to my mentor about it, that I have this self-doubt. And they were like, I have this all day long. Don't worry about it. Everybody has it. So you're not the only one. And also, you will get past it once you realize that self-doubt is a normal thing to have. So I think in our industry, self-doubt or the imposter syndrome is not normalized enough. It should be more normalized because everybody feels that. So, yeah.
Yes, very guilty of imposter syndrome.
Yes. I'm like, it is there. It's always there. So you kind of have to keep pushing along. So, yes, yeah.
What are some initiatives that you're involved with aimed to support and empower women?
I of course mentor women in product. I have mentored men also in product, whoever needs mentorship. I am a part of Women in Product community and of course Product-Led Alliance as well. I try to introduce more and more people to these communities so they can learn through them, through other product management folks in the communities, join the local chapters, you know, be involved in the community. So I have definitely introduced a lot of people to, you know, product communities and help them grow their career. Most of the times what I have seen in the product management space, there is a bunch of, you know, courses and certifications out there that you would like to do to get the craft right. But a lot of it is also learning from your peers and, you know, learning from different situations. There's a lot of learning on the job that happens here. So, and by joining these communities and learning from the peers, your peers, it is the best way to make progress in your career, you know, building your network and learning from other people. That's the best way to make progress here. Yeah.
And now lastly, how do you see the role of women evolving in the product management field going forward?
That's another good one. I think, I see that there is more trust that's given to women now than used to be before, and that needs to continue to go on. So instead of waiting for proof that somebody can do a good job, more and more women are now being promoted or given opportunities for the potential that they have instead of the proof that they show. I mean, it is important to continue to prove yourself as well, but leaders also need to recognize, are they giving opportunities to women who only prove themselves, or are they also recognizing potential in somebody who hasn't had the chance to prove themselves yet because they didn't get the opportunity. So the more women are recognized for their potential, then their proof is better for all of us, because not everybody gets all the opportunities that you need to actually prove your skill set. So there needs to be some level of trust also involved. So leaders have to understand that are they looking at men for their potential and women and waiting on women to give proof, or are they also looking at women for their potential, just like they do with men? And that's something that needs to continue to happen. I see that happening in the industry, but it needs to continue to happen.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. A little question, if you will, what is your favorite product that has been released lately into the world? Not necessarily you've worked on, something you're inspired by or caught your eye.
Yeah, I have to say I have this Sendrieve bag. It's a laptop bag that I have by this company called the Sendrieve. I absolutely, absolutely love this product because it is designed by keeping women in mind. And I am a person that really needs nice bags to feel confident about myself. So, you know, that's kind of like something that I like to have. And every single laptop bag that you see in the market, it is either ugly and functional or beautiful and not functional. So
no in between.
This bag is a combination of both. It is beautiful to look at, so you, when you carry it, you feel good about it, and it is super functional. It can carry everything that I need it to carry, and it is not super heavy. So yes, that's my favorite product. I bought it last year. I love it. So yes,
we're gonna have to look into this.
You should. Yeah.
Well, thank you so much, Phidi. I absolutely enjoyed hearing a bit about your life and your career and your stories. I hope to hear from you soon. And thank you, everyone, for tuning into this episode. We will see you next time on Innovate Her, Women in Product.
Thank you, Rebecca.